I declare the meeting open at 5:30 p.m. I welcome councillors, management and members of the public in attendance to the City of Melbourne. May I ask that all mobile phones be turned off for the duration of the meeting. We respectfully acknowledge that we are meeting on the traditional land of the Kulin Nation. This place is now known by the name of Melbourne. Melbourne is one of the great multicultural cities of the world and a significant meeting place. For the Kulin Nation, Melbourne has always been an important meeting place and a location for events of social, educational, sporting and cultural significance. The agenda comprises 17 reports from management, 11 of which are confidential, and 2 items of general business. An apology has been received from the Deputy Lord Mayor, Susan Riley. If any councillor has either a direct or indirect interest, as defined in the Local Government Act 1989, in relation to a matter to be considered by council, please disclose the type and the nature of the interest prior to consideration of the item. Could I call on a councillor to move a resolution adopting the open minutes of council meeting number 21, held on the 24th of June 2014? Councillor Ong seconded Councillor Wood. I'll put that motion. All those in favour? That is carried unanimously. Thank you. Are there any matters arising from the minutes of the previous open meeting? In that case, at 3 p.m. today, the following submission was received in accordance with the Conduct of Meetings Local Law 2010, an item of correspondence from Tony Penn, President of the South Bank Residents Group. Does any councillor wish to discuss the confidential status of confidential agenda items 6.7.1, 6.7.2, 6.7.3, 6.8.1, 6.9.1 or 6.10.1? In that case, there are no reports from committee to be considered in the open session. There are 6 reports from management for consideration in the open session. The first is records of assemblies of councillors. Would councillors like a presentation? No. In that case, could I call on a councillor to move the motion? Councillor Wood seconded Councillor Oak. I'll put the motion. Those in favour? That is carried unanimously. Thank you. Item 6.2, support to newly arrived communities within the City of Melbourne. Would councillors like a presentation on this agenda item? In that case...
Sorry, I just have a quick question. So, do you mind if I just ask a question of Ian
Hicks? Yes.
I just wanted to clarify, in the stakeholder consultation, you list a whole lot of groups that you consulted with leading up to this report. And I just wanted to confirm that you did meet with the African Australian Multicultural Employment and Youth Services.
Title which rolls off the tongue with some felicity.
AMS or something.
Through you, Lord Mayor, it does indeed. Yes, Councillor Oak, we did. We met with specifically with Mr. Burhan Ahmed, and that was incredibly useful, but he was representing that organisation, and I neglected to put that on the back of the report.
Thank you. In that case, could I call on a councillor to move it? Councillor Foster, thank you. Is that seconded? Councillor Oak, thank you. Councillor Foster, do you wish to speak to the motion?
Yes, thank you. It's an important motion, but probably something that doesn't require too much from me. I think it's just important to note, though, that this reflects very much a work in progress, that this is an ongoing dialogue with a number of community representatives, all of whom have been very informative and active on this front and very engaged with council officers in putting this piece of work together. Again, it is an ongoing conversation, though, an ongoing dialogue, and I think this brings us another step closer to really delivering some meaningful outcomes from that. I think it's also important, too, that I mention, as Mr. Hicks did, the contribution of Burhan Ahmed. He is a fantastic contributor to these initiatives, has been for some time, and I know will continue to be. So I'd like to extend my thanks to him and commend the motion to Council.
Thank you. Councillor Oak.
Thank you, Lord Mayor. Following on from Councillor Foster, I agree that this is the next step in the process of Council's involvement in employment issues for newly arrived communities within the City of Melbourne, and this report's obviously as a result of a council decision about long-term funding for community groups, and that it did identify there are a lot of groups doing a lot of great things for these communities, but a lot of the times it seems like they're doing the same thing for the same communities, and bringing together all of these groups to really work out what is it that the City of Melbourne can actually contribute to, and the best way of spending the funds is a great idea, and we supported that obviously in April, and this next step, this report, is all about the work that Ian Hicks has done in speaking to all of the community groups, the organisations, the individuals that are working so hard in the community on these issues about the best way forward and the next step in supporting this recommendation is to have these roundtable discussions. Importantly, I think, as Councillor Foster has already said, it's not about talking about the issues. It's not about identifying what needs to be done. Rather, it's using that as a starting point and coming up with initiatives that the council can actually act on, and that's what number 8.2 is about. In October, we'll have a summary of these initiatives that hopefully are exciting and that we can support and really contribute. So I thank Ian Hicks for all of the work that he's done up until this point, and look forward to that report in October.
Thank you. Is there a speaker against the motion? Is there a further speaker to the motion? Councillor, do you wish to conclude debate? In that case, I'll put the motion. All those in favour? That is carried unanimously. Thank you. Item 6.3 is e-tendering solutions. Would Council would like a presentation on this agenda item? In that case, could I call on the Council to move this motion? Councillor Mayne, seconded Councillor Ong. Councillor Mayne.
It's not too often you turn to a journalistic organisation to run your confidential tenders. That
independent always.
But Fairfax Digital obviously is a separated operation. So it's probably one of the smallest contracts we'll ever give. It $2,500 a year, and as the report notes, we'll save over 3,000 reams of paper. So this is a good example of simply getting with the digital technologies. And it was good to see we had, I think it was six tenderers, so very highly competitive tendering for a very small amount of money in the end, and look forward to seeing the efficiency savings and the environmental savings from the result of this tender process.
Councillor Wrong. Any further contribution to debate? In that case, I'll put the motion. All those in favour? Carried unanimously. Thank you. Item 6.4 is the Queen Victoria Market Renewal Fund. Would councillors like a presentation on this agenda item? In that case, could I have a councillor move this item? Councillor Mayne, seconded? I'm happy to second it. Councillor Mayne.
Thanks, Lord Mayor. This report follows up from a motion passed earlier in the year to establish a discrete renewal fund in which we can deposit funds and use that to finance the biggest capital works project in our history, which is the renewal of the Queen Victoria Market. As the report notes, there were two options considered, whether we do the relatively easy and cheapest option of just setting up a separate bank account, or if we actually give it a greater veneer of credibility and governance and actually establish a separate trust, if you like. And the officers are recommending that we do go for the trust option. The costs of that are relatively modest, at only $20,000 per year. And if you consider that you know, there's been figures bandied around that this is a $200 million project, at $20,000 a year, this would represent 0.0001% of the cost of the project. And for a governance measure, which indicates also an element of political will, I think that is a very, very, very small price to pay to demonstrate our commitment to this project, and that funds raised and placed in this trust can't just be dealt with like any other bank account, but actually has an element of independent audit, returns to authorities, and just that level of credibility and seriousness that a trust structure brings to such an important project for the City of Melbourne.
Thank you. I find myself arguing for a principle that I've argued against consistently for 25 years in public life, and that is hypothecation of funds, but never mind. I don't think this is really about the vehicle by which we do it. I echo Councillor Mayne in saying that because this is our largest CapEx investment in the Council's history, there needs to be a demonstration of political will and money in the bank to show that we can actually complete this project. And therefore, I think the vehicle is a lesser issue than the importance of demonstrating that we can fund this enormous project at Queen Victoria Market. I would note, and I know that a number of councillors, Councillor Mayne in particular, have made the point previously that we'll need to constrain our other capital expenditure projects. I think when I first became Lord Mayor, we were running at about $70 to $75 million a year. We're now consistently at over $100 million a year in capital expenditure. What we're saying by constructing this renewal fund is that we understand that the bulk of that growth funding that has happened over the last 5 to 6 years will actually go back into the Queen Victoria Market project, and that the other projects will have to stand well back in the queue in order that we can complete this on time and on budget. Is there a further speaker to the motion? Councillor Leppett.
Thank you, Lord Mayor. I'll speak against this motion, but just on a procedural basis because, as you said, Lord Mayor, I think there's probably broad consensus for the need for such a fund, and I absolutely agree that we need a Queen Victoria Market Renewal Fund. There's just a minor, if you like, debate about the vehicle for that. And before I start, for the benefit of the gallery, I should also say there's been no schism in the Greens caucus. Councillor Oakes just rightly quarantined me until my cold goes away, so thank you. Wouldn't want anyone to think otherwise.
Thank you for doing that.
Yes, there'll be a press release in the morning. The minor point that I did want to make, and I will foreshadow a motion, is that I do, you know, just land at a slightly different place to the recommendation from management. It's not an argument about the operational cost of the trust. I agree with Councillor Main that $20,000 for a fund of this size is very, very, very small. But the democratic principle of binding future as yet unelected councils to a particular hypothecation of funds is something that I don't believe we need to do in that case. I think we've got much more than enough political will demonstrated in this process and enough of a commitment to the Queen Victoria Renewal Project that we don't also need to bind ourselves and future councils in a trust model. I think that a simple bank account will be just fine and will also adhere to that democratic principle. And so I foreshadow a much shorter motion which basically says that Council approves the establishment of a Queen Victoria Market Renewal Fund bank account, and I will vote against this motion accordingly, and if this motion fails, I will move that motion. But I do, of course, absolutely support a renewal fund. Thank you.
Thank you. Is there a further speaker to the motion? Does the mover wish to conclude debate?
Just to say that there's absolutely nothing in this officer recommendation tonight that stops any future council from completely reversing this decision with six hands in the air. So this is not a 10-year contract. This is not a legal contract. This is simply a vehicle for where we park some of council's monies, and council can choose to unpark it, reverse the car and put it somewhere else at a whim, at any time, next week, in 10 years. So I just disagree with the idea that this is a sacred principle actually being breached. I just think it's not.
I'll put the motion. All those in favour? Councillor Main, Councillor Watts, Councillor Foster, Councillor Louis, Councillor Wood, Councillor Pinder-Mortimer, Councillor Ong, and the Lord Mayor. Those against? Councillor Oak, Councillor Leppett, the motion is carried. Thank you. Item 6.5 is the Australian-Turkish Friendship Memorial Proposal. Would councillors like a presentation on this agenda item? In that case, could I have a councillor to move the motion, please? Thank you, Councillor Ong. Is that motion seconded? Councillor Pinder-Mortimer, thank you. Councillor Ong?
Thank you, Lord Mayor. I think, first of all, I'd like to thank the officers in Shears and also the reference committee has gone through this process. It's a four-year process which has come to the culmination of tonight's recommendation. And I think it's a very important timing that we should decided tonight in accordance with what the officers have recommended, because the time to next year's Anzac Day is not that far away, so there's a fair bit of work. Reports very clearly states that the council's financial commitment is zero on this, other than to make arrangements for the site and approve it. And it's, I guess, it's now the responsibility for the organisers and the Turkish branch of the RSL to ensure that they have all the funding together to get this thing in place. And I commend all the work and look forward to it.
Thank you. Councillor Pinder-Mortimer, do you wish to speak to it?
Thanks, Lord Mayor. I just think it's a great piece of work, and hopefully the funds will be raised. And I think our only commitment is maintenance, and that ought to be quite easy. So
thank you.
Great work.
Is there a speaker against the motion? Is there a further speaker for the motion? In that case, I'll put the motion. All those in favour? That is carried unanimously. Thank you. Item 6.6 is creative spaces. Carlton Connect. Would councillors like a presentation on this agenda item? In that case, could I have a councillor to move this, please? Councillor Lippert, is it seconded? Councillor Watts, thank you. Councillor Lippert.
Thank you, Lord Mayor. This is a tremendously exciting proposal, and I really can't think of much of a better way to activate this precinct than with this creative space proposal and putting in some cross-disciplinary practitioners and artists working in that knowledge space as well to really make this space the creative and scientific hub that it can be. I thank officers for scouting out proposals like this and for negotiating them to the point that we've got it here, and I highly commend the proposal. I think it'll be tremendously exciting. I look forward to seeing what comes of it.
I would agree. It's been such a shame to see this site neglected or the purpose of it not clear until now, after so many years. So this is an exciting moment for a very good use of some of the site.
Thank you. Is there a further speaker to the motion? Councillor Orr.
Thank you, Lord Mayor. A great development and progress on this site, as Councillor Watts has said. You know, many of us have watched that building sit there for a long time trying to figure out who's going to buy it and what's going to happen to it. We got part of the back through the Kathleen Syme, and finally I think University of Melbourne has always indicated that we're interested in the site. I think the great thing about this, and I commend our officers and also the University of Melbourne to come in terms of coming together to put forward this initiative, because the Carlton Connect initiative is something that I think we've all been pushing for a while, and it's great to see it coming to fruition. And I guess looking at the numbers, the costs involved are actually very reasonable. So I'm fully supportive of this.
Is there a further speaker to the motion? Does the mover wish to conclude debate? In that case, I'll put the motion. All those in favour? Carried unanimously. Thank you. That concludes the reports from management to be considered in open session. There are two items of general business for consideration in open session. The first is a notice of motion from Councillor Foster, a condolence motion for Malaysia Airlines flight MH17. Could I ask Councillor Foster to move this motion?
So moved.
Is there a seconder for the motion? Councillor Ong, thank you. Councillor Foster.
Yes, thank you. Well, on quite a sombre note, I suppose it's truly tragic that a motion like this is being moved as a result of such an unspeakable act, and it probably doesn't require too much to be said from me. I think it speaks for itself. By and large, this is a motion that is intended to deliver a sense of solidarity among our citizens for the victims of, and those affected by MH17, I trust, I trust that it offers them some hope. That this demonstrates that that we stand with them at an enormously difficult time. We don't just say this, I don't think, as fellow community members, but I think at times like this, it's fair to say that we stand with those affected as their friends. We stand with them, and offer them whatever support we possibly can. Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor Foster. Councillor Rong.
Yes, Lord Mayor, I concur with what Councillor Foster says. Yes, this is an extremely sad day when we first got the news of MH17 and the downing of it with all aboard lives lost. I think in addition to what Councillor Foster says, I would like to also say that we extend our condolences to all the relatives and friends, and also to the communities of the Dutch, the Malaysian, the Indonesian communities, which are large communities in Melbourne, who are also, I guess, represented in the most largest proportion in those that lost their lives, in addition to the Australians. So I'm hoping that very soon we'll be able to repatriate all the bodies of the victims, because after nearly 2 weeks, it's still some time to go.
Thank you. Is there a further speaker to the motion? Councillor Watts.
Thank you. I would like to make reference to the loss experienced by the many thousands of professionals who attended the AIDS conference last week. I went to many of the events
and I was struck time and time again about the important work these people are engaged in and how a very important members of that particular scientific biomedical community are suffering loss also. This is an area which can sadly needs all of the expertise it can attract, and this tragic event robbed the sector of many, many able people.
Thank you, Councillor. Is there a further contribution to debate? Could I make perhaps then a brief contribution? I think when a catastrophic event such as the downing of MH17 occurs, you remember where you were when you heard that awful news for the rest of your life. For me, I was preparing for the opening of our biggest health and development conference, AIDS 2014. That afternoon, I was to flick the switch on the Hamer Hall projections, which carried, paradoxically, messages of hope from around the world about AIDS. There were 18 Victorians on that flight, and there were 6 delegates on their way to that conference. But most notably, and I think Councillor Watts referred to this, the Dutch HIV researcher and the former International AIDS Society president, Professor Joep Longhi. These were people who dedicated their lives to making a better world, and that was particularly poignant. And MH17's news shocked and devastated us all. The multi-face memorial service at St Paul's Cathedral, I think, provided Victorians and visiting delegates an opportunity to unite, and I know many of the delegates were at that service. What struck me at that memorial were the number of pews that were reserved for the friends and relatives of those who died on MH17. This was very, very close to home for all of us. I don't know if you've all read the messages in the condolence book in the foyer downstairs. I've read quite a number of them, and they're very touching. But I think we should also be very proud of the way our city has responded to this disaster and this devastating event. I'm also very proud of the strong stance from our leaders. When I was in Canberra last week, I got up to watch the UN Security Council debate, and I could not have been more inspired than by the Malaysian and the Australian foreign ministers, and in particular the Dutch foreign minister and his speech, a model of just shock, but also of proper response to such a tragedy. So I'm delighted that we are able in our small way to offer that condolence book in our foyer. I was delighted with the Premier and a number of other members of all political persuasions, including the Leader of the Opposition and Leader of the Greens, to commence the signing of that condolence book in Parliament last week, and proud that we have one in our foyer for people to express their feelings about such a tragic world event. Is there a further speaker to the motion? Before I put the motion, I think it's proper perhaps if we all stand for a moment, just a moment of silence of commemoration before I put this motion. Would you please stand? Thank you. Councillor Foster, before I put the motion, would you like to conclude debate?
Just very briefly, Lord Mayor, thank you. I'd just like to extend my thanks to Councillor Ong for his mention of the other broader communities that have been so deeply affected by this tragedy, and also to Councillor Watts for referring to the professionals lost in the AIDS research and medical research community, and thank you to the Lord Mayor as well for reminding us of the condolence book in the foyer. I do encourage those who would like to take the time to add their personal message to it. And also, I'd like to pick up on something the Lord Mayor said that was absolutely right, and that is we will remember where we were when we heard that news. I, for one, was about 700 kilometres from the Ukraine border, and I can tell you that I think people back here in Australia were getting more information about the disaster than what I was. The feeling in the region was certainly palpable, to say the least. Thank you, Lord Mayor, and back to you.
Thank you, Councillor. Could I put that motion, please, all those in favour? That is unanimous, of course. Thank you. The second notice of motion is Councillor Mayne, Register of Material Developer Contribution Payments. Could I ask Councillor Mayne to move the motion standing in his name?
Thanks, Lord Mayor. I'd like to move an amended motion.
Sure.
Which
it's
is
not amended. You just have to put one up there. Yep.
Now being displayed. So I'll move the motion now displayed on the screen.
Is there a seconder for that motion? Councillor Lippitt, thank you. Councillor Mayne, please.
Okay, thanks, Lord Mayor. So in terms of changes to what was notified in the on the website 5 days ago, this motion of a register of open space and developer contributions that the Council's received, it's now proposed this will go back to 1988. That's when the Subdivision Act was introduced and when public open space contributions first commenced. And also it's not proposed now to have a threshold of 50,000 on those disclosures, but to simply include all cash contributions that we've received since 1988. I'm advised that actually there's not that many tiddlers, so that not having this threshold won't actually dramatically expand the number of entries, and I've seen the spreadsheet and it certainly is already very close to being completed and publishable already. And when you look at that spreadsheet already there, there's actually some other opportunities to disclose data. So the motion has been amended to add, for instance, the prior use of the site, so you can see what the prior use of the site was, and then the proposed use of the site, including the number of lots, which is often a very useful indication of actually the number of apartments that have been developed on the site. Rather than just the calendar year, we're now going to have the precise date of the actual amount that was received by Council, and we're going to disclose the formula that's used, which is the percentage of unimproved site value paid to Council. So there's now sort of 6 parameters that will be reported by November the 1st. This will be very useful in terms of understanding the history of developer contributions, primarily so far through public open space contributions, but in the future potentially also being straight developer contributions. So it'll give a great transparency to the past, and equally we'll be able to add to it on a quarterly basis to understand how the numbers are going. 1.2 on the motion asks for an abbreviated form of the data to actually be included in the report that we know is coming to us on August 12, where we are looking at questions of infrastructure spend and developer contribution revenues. So it's asking that we get just the data over the last 10 years of over 100,000. And just including the address of the site, the year and the amount. So we'll get an abridged form in a couple of weeks, and then we'll get the full Monty of disclosure, if you like, up on the website from November 1. So this is a good example of transparency. I'm not aware of another council in Australia that has gone this far in terms of publicly disclosing something as important as when land uses change, when there are subdivisions that those that are developing the site make a contribution to the council to facilitate investment in either public open space or in local infrastructure. So it's an important policy area which we're looking at the moment, and this will provide both transparency and data, historical and prospective, for which we can have that public debate and as policymakers make representations on where the policies should stand, and that all stakeholders can see, whether they're developers, whether they're neighbours, objectors or any other party, can see what funds are coming to council, on what basis, and related to which sites. And at the moment we have very limited visibility of this. From November the 1st we will have the best visibility in Australia into this policy question. I think that will be good for all those involved in these sorts of policy deliberations, and hope my colleagues will be generous enough to share those thoughts and support this motion.
Councillor Lippitt.
Thank you, Lord Mayor. Certainly I intend to support this motion. I think it's an excellent motion. This motion, in fact, goes a little bit further than the one that was on the notice paper, and I'm glad to see that both the timelines have been pushed out and that there's more criteria that we'll be able to collect. I'm also very impressed with the comments of the mover that our officers have all but implemented the motion already before the question's even been put, let alone resolved. That's City of Melbourne efficiency for you. I agree entirely that whilst we're having big policy debates at the moment about developer contributions and whether or not to levy them in different parts of the municipality, and we've got some active planning scheme amendments out at the moment, and we're potentially going to consider another one in coming months in the HODL grid as per a recent council resolution, that it is only prudent to have all of the data as transparent as it can be, not just for the decision makers here at the council, but for the community as well. We've also got the housing strategy out at the moment, which at a very high level describes the median developer contribution levies on apartments in Sydney and Brisbane. And once we put that data up against our proposed data and our historic data, I think it'll paint a very good picture and will assist us as we make decisions as to what sort of levies are appropriate for different parts of the municipality. So I think it's an excellent motion. I think it also probably goes a long way to meeting the issues that were addressed in the excellent submission of the South Bank Residents Group as well. I agree with the mover. I commend the motion.
Thank you. Is there a speaker against the motion? Further speaker for the motion? Councillor Wood.
I'm happy to support this. I think it is a good motion. I think Councillor Leppert's point about the community understanding these contributions is also a good one. I think on the flip side of seeing the past history is what we'll also see is that the contributions aren't as big as the community often thinks. And so regularly we talk about how much is in that open space fund, you know, what it can actually purchase on the open market. So I think this is going to also show the gap that's yawning between these contributions and the infrastructure that we require and also the open space that we require as well.
Further contribution to debate? Councillor Rom.
Thank you, Lord Mayor. I support the motion, but I'm also just wondering whether the mover and seconder should consider an additional point of putting into the reports that come out a statement of the balance of the funds in both the open space contribution fund and also the developer contribution fund as it builds up in the future and also as we spend the money so that not just us but everybody else knows where the money is going, what's been spent on and what's still left in the fund. Because one of the important things is to be able to show the public that we're collecting all this money and that we get questions regularly. Where is it spent? What's remaining in the funds? And I would not make a change now, but I'll suggest to both the mover and the seconder to consider that.
I won't take that as a suggested amendment on the run, yeah, but as an exhortation to the mover and seconder to consider how that mechanism might be achieved in the future. Is there a further speaker to debate? Does the mover wish to conclude debate?
Yes, I will pick up Councillor Wong's suggestion, which I think is a good one. I think that the developers in particular are interested in transparency around where we spend the monies. So I'm not so sure they're that interested in the balance at any point in time. And I know with open space there is one balance, but I know with some of the growth area proposals they'll be more related to City North or South Bank, and you might have a number of balances, and there's quite prescriptive details as to which locations they have to be spent in. So there may be numerous balances around certain precincts within City North and South Bank. But I certainly completely agree with the concept that particularly if we are increasing the overall amount that we are raising, and so far in the past year, past financial year, it was about $6 million. This year it's projected to be up to $7.5 million, and I suspect it may grow in time, that accountability and transparency as to where those funds are expended will be important. And I think we can certainly move on that issue as we roll out policy changes and as the structure plans in the growth areas also get fully implemented. I think that will be an excellent suggestion for then. But I think it is appropriate that we don't actually make any specific proposals on that front tonight. So I'll conclude with that view.
In that case, I will put that motion. All those in favour? That is unanimous. Thank you. This concludes the items of general business to be considered in the open session. Are there any items of proposed urgent business? In that case, could I call on a councillor to move a motion displayed on the screen to close the meeting to the public to consider the items of confidential business? Councillor Wood, seconded by Councillor Pinder-Mortimer. I'll put that motion. All those in favour? That is carried unanimously. Thank you. Could I thank members of the public for their interest and attendance and declare the meeting closed to the public at 6:03 p.m.